Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb for International Gospel Hour. For 80 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. You are about to listen to another Bible-based lesson with Jeff Archie of International Gospel Hour. Starting now.
Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah, Psalm 68:19. How are your benefits, friend? How are your spiritual benefits? When we think about the Lord who will provide with benefits, we think about the words of Ephesians 1:3, of all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We think about Ephesians 3:20, where He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we ask or think according to the power that works within the child of God, within those within His church. How thankful we are for the benefits of God. And once again, friends, how are your benefits? I thank you to our Jay Webb and greetings to everyone. I want to pause and say how much we appreciate hearing from you, our listeners. We're thankful to receive feedback, whether it is through our email or whether it's a comment through Facebook. Whatever the case might be, we are thankful to hear from you, our listeners. Many of you have requested our free materials that we offer, and we're always thankful to fulfill those requests. You don't have to send us a gift of any amount. We will not charge our listeners for anything. If there's material that we offer, if there's something that we offer to you that you think would help you in your studies, we make that absolutely free. We're thankful and give praise to God that we can do so. We're also involved quite a bit on social media. And I want to pause here real early, let our Jay Webb tell you about it. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the greatest benefit for mankind. Now our Jay Webb.
Why not follow the International Gospel Hour on social media? You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Simply type International Gospel Hour into the search engine, and you can like and follow our pages to keep up with the latest news and efforts of our labors, of which you are a part as a listener and a supporter. We would love to have you as a follower on social media. And now, back to Jeff.
Let's talk about one of God's benefits for mankind. I would suggest it may be the best benefit because it is the news, the good news, and it's available daily. Let's talk about the gospel. The word gospel simply means good news or glad tidings. When we note from 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That good news or glad tidings help us to see the best news possible, and oh, the benefits that come from it. You know, from Romans 1 and verse 16, kind friends, we note the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. Oh, yes, dear friends, that is good. But then let's consider Romans 1 verses 1 through 17. I want to look at the entire text there. Now, with this text, I'm going to read a little, then I'm going to teach a little, which means I'll read a verse or two, then I'll pause with some comments and thoughts therein. It is important in our studies, and we strive to do this as well as we possibly can here on our International Gospel Hour broadcast, to take a look at the context to help us understand the specific text that we wish to draw from. All of God's Word is truth, John 17:17. His Word will judge us in the last day, John 12:48. We understand those in the city of Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They were more fair-minded, from the standpoint that they would receive the Word with a readiness of mind, but in turn, they would search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so, Acts 17:10 and 11. We strive to abide by the Word of God here and to grant book, chapter, and verse through our broadcast. So with that being said, as we noted Romans 1:16, let's look at the context of Romans 1:1 through 17. In Romans 1:1 and 2, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Friends, that has a lot of meat there. Paul as a bondservant of Christ means that he was a slave to Christ. How he was called to be an apostle. When we find that he is separated to the gospel of God, which means God, through Christ, said, Paul, I'm going to put you in this situation. And we understand Paul's teaching unto the Gentiles. And we could see Paul's effect even among those that were Jewish, because Paul himself was Jewish, trained under the feet of Gamaliel, if you will, a great Jewish leader, one who was also a Pharisee. Now let's also consider that this gospel was promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scripture. And when we note this, friends, from verses 1 and 2, looking at all that meat and power, dear friends, it's a broadcast by itself. But dear friends, that's good. That's why it's called the gospel. Now let's notice Romans 1, 3 and 4. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Again, dear friends, a lot of meat here. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, notice that he was born according to the flesh in the seed or in the line, the lineage of David. It is amazing that when Jesus was born, in Luke 2:8 through 11, the angelic messenger said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And the gospel is also known as good news or glad tidings. The message of Christ coming into this world is the best news that anyone could have ever heard. Because from that he lived a life that he went about doing good, Acts 10, verse 38, but he also went about doing good, and then we note his death, his burial, and resurrection. No one else can make that claim, only Christ. It was according to power, the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Dear friends, that's good, because it's the gospel. We'll note Romans 1:5 by itself. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now Paul is making more of a personal appeal here, that through Christ he had received grace and apostleship. But I want you to notice the latter phrase, obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now think about Mark 16 and verse 15, Mark's account of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Dear friends, obedience to the faith among all nations, the faith, the gospel. Dear friends, that's good. Now Romans 1 verse 6. Among whom you are also the called of Christ Jesus, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul now continues his introduction. He continues his salutation, his salute to the church at Rome. And I want you to notice the phrase, the called. The Romans were among the called in verse 6, the called of Jesus Christ. Not only called, dear friends, but called to be saints, verse 7. Now let's pause and notice a couple of things here. First of all, they were called to be saints. Sainthood is not something bestowed upon one who has passed from this life. Sainthood is appointed to the one who is living a faithful life, a newness of life, Romans 6, 5 and 6. Dear friends, do you know a Christian is also a saint? If someone were to ask, and many times it is asked in a disparaging way, well, what do you think you are, a saint? You know, the Christian can actually answer, well, yes, I am. You see, the world has taken the word saint and has made it to be something that the Bible never intended for it to be. And we wish to make the plea, we're going back to the Bible and to see what the Bible has to say. A Christian is a saint, and you don't have to die in order to achieve that. The death of Christ, his burial, his resurrection made that possible. Second thing. How were these individuals called? Was it a voice that they claimed that they heard? No. How were they called? Well, the book of 2 Thessalonians gives us a clear teaching from 2 Thessalonians 2:14. They are called by the gospel message. Here we are right back to the gospel. How were these individuals the called of Jesus Christ? How were they called to be saints? Because they answered the call of the gospel message. And dear friends, that's good. Now let's consider Romans 1, 8, and 9. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Oh, friends, I'm going to have to do a special Are You Studying series with the text of the book of Romans. Oh, this is awesome. But let's consider now 8 through 13 with a little bit of a quick summary. Now, when you note verse 8, the church at Rome, their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. That is impressive. Paul's service to them, his prayers for them in verse 9, and even the desire for them to come together, shall we say, members of one another, verses 10 through 13. Dear friends, there's something about when we can come together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that cannot be touched by anything else. You and I remember the days of the pandemic from 2020 into 2021, and how there were many places that did not assemble due to health, but tried their best to keep that relationship strong and to keep it going. Dear friends, it is important for us to come together. When you and I do a study of one another or come together, dear friends, two things stand out. Number one, you can't one another by yourself. And number two, it's a command of God. Think about their faith spoken of, Paul's service and prayers, members of one another coming together. Dear friends, that's the gospel, and that's good. Let's go now to verses 14 and 15. Paul said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks, or I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Paul said, I've got a message that I need to get out to the world, and I'm a debtor to whomever it might be. Verses 14 and 15 reminds us of the good news that can go to everyone. And Paul was ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. The gospel of Christ, that's good. Now let's wrap up with verses 16 and 17. Then we're going to take a little small break and then we'll come back for further study. In verses 16 and 17, Paul said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the context wherein verses 16 and 17 is located sets us up as a reminder to the Romans and to everyone of the news that redeemed us, the news that will keep one redeemed, as the message of righteousness. And dear friends, that is good. You and I saw a lot of meat in verses 1 through 15 that brings us to verses 16 and 17 and lets us see, and this is not an oxymoron, nor am I being repetitive, the gospel is the good news, but the gospel is the good gospel. You can't emphasize it enough, dear friends. There's not another message that will save mankind other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, as the church at Rome was instructed, so in turn, we want to grow in our knowledge and instruction, and to be reminded of this gospel message that is good and why it is good. But first, dear friends, yes, we love discussing the gospel over radio, over podcast, over the internet, wherever you may be listening to us. But I've got another thing as well. We also love discussing the gospel on YouTube. Listen to our J-Web.
You hear us over the air and online. Check out the International Gospel Hour YouTube channel and view us as well. See episodes of Book, Chapter, and Verse available through our friends at the Gospel Broadcasting Network, hosted by our Jeff Archie. And stay tuned for the new weekly TV version of the International Gospel Hour coming soon. That's the International Gospel Hour channel on YouTube. Subscribe today. It's free.
Dear friends, we submit to you, first of all, that the gospel is good because it is the only message that persuades a sinner for good. From our lesson text of Romans 1:17, we see again, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It is revealed within the gospel message. It's known to persuade man, and it can accomplish and persuade many an individual. Millions have been persuaded by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power to save. It is God's power to save. The word power here, dear friends, comes from the original word that is spelled dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. It's where we get the English word dynamite, which means the gospel is strong and powerful to destroy sin. Then it cleans it away and begins a life anew. I can remember as a boy in Nashville, Tennessee, when the old Sam Davis Hotel was demolished. I remember how they would show that and the dynamite was set, and when it exploded, it just dropped straight down. It was a historic place, but it had served its time. And so it had the power to destroy, but you turn around and something new would arise. Dear friends, the gospel has the power to destroy sin upon the obedience of that one who will be called by that gospel message. Again, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. But it rebuilds a life. You see, dear friends, an unbeliever is condemned already. We know that from John 3:18. So it is the only message that will persuade one to change, and one must believe and obey the gospel message. Again, we go back to Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. We see that choice on the day of Pentecost when Peter told them what they must do upon their question that they asked in Acts 2:37. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:38 through 40 what they must do. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to many that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God may call." And the Bible said that he continued with many other words, But then we find in verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, again Acts 2:41. They made a choice because the gospel message persuaded them. The gospel persuades people what they must do in order to change their lives. It is a message that is powerful because it persuades. So, dear friend, we'd like to ask, will you be persuaded? And if you will, that's good. Second, notice with us that the gospel is good because it is the only message that positions one in Christ. Not only does it have the power to persuade, but the power to position one. Now, here's what we mean. Not only does the gospel save, but it can keep one saved in Christ. We see this from 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. This is written to the church at Corinth from 1 Corinthians 1:2, those who are already saved. And they had received what was preached. They had the place wherein to stand, and they were saved. So there is a conviction there. And 1 Corinthians 15:1-2 tells us of that place wherein to stand. So when one is persuaded by the gospel and is obedient, one must continue to keep his conviction. Matthew 28:20, after there are those that were baptized into Christ, Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Philippians 2:12, Paul encouraged the church there to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now let's consider the very ones to whom Paul is writing here in Romans chapter 1, later in Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18 goes on to say, being therefore freed from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. As Paul was a bondservant in Romans 1:1, we are also bondservants upon our obedience to the gospel. It gives us a position or a place wherein we stand. And dear friends, that's what the gospel is able to do. And that's good. So the gospel is good because it persuades, it positions one in Christ, but it is also the only message that is powerful to accomplish much good. Those that have a position in Christ, because they have been persuaded by the gospel in obedience to Christ, they are able to use that same gospel to tell others. I love to read of descriptions of the gospel. Not only is it the good news, but in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in 1 Timothy 1:11, it's called a glorious gospel. Makes sense to God's glory. Ephesians 6:15, it's called a peaceful gospel. It will bring peace among the one who has obeyed it. It's called a graceful gospel in Acts 20:24, and through God's grace, we have this message. We're able to be taught, and we're able to learn. Titus 2:11-14. It's an everlasting gospel, Revelation 14:6. And indeed it is a personal gospel. Because to the church at Ephesus, Paul tells them the gospel of your salvation, Ephesians 1:13. Dear friend, as the gospel persuades and positions, we cannot depart from this text without being reminded of its power toward glory and peace, grace and eternity, and the personal effect it has on our lives. Oh, yes, dear friends, that's the gospel, and that's good. Friends, let me ask you, are you excited about this study of the good gospel? I can tell you I am. We have an exceptional home Bible study just for you. It's absolutely free. And if we have piqued your interest in the gospel or renewed a study within yourself, well, our Jay Webb will tell us all about it.
Your friends at the International Gospel Hour are offering absolutely free a Bible study course by mail. You may study in the privacy of your own home at your own pace. Feel free to give it a try. Please call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 and leave your name, address, and just say, Home Study. That's it. Again, call toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988.
6988, and please leave your name, address, and just say, Home Study. You may also go to our website at internationalgospelhour.com, click on the Contact tab, and leave us the same information, name, address, and type Home Study in the message box. We'll send it right away. Thank you for your interest in the things of God. And now, back to Jeff.
Yes, dear friends, the gospel message. That's good. The good gospel. The good news. The good glad tidings. Friends, why would one not obey this good message? Let us be warned. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 speaks of Christ and His return, and it says, "In flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Dear friends, obedience to the gospel is important, just like those on the day of Pentecost. And like we're instructed throughout the Scripture, that we are to hear the word of God. Let us believe that word according to Romans 10:17. Let's have faith as commanded in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Repent of our sins, as Jesus taught in Luke 13:3. Confess Him before men, Acts 8:37, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Let's continue our studies together another time. Thanks for joining me today on the International Gospel Hour. I'm Jeff Archie, and dear friends, keep listening.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.